Golf Smarter, number 542, published on May 31, 2016. An introduction to Tour Edge and Exotics Golf Clubs with Joanne Miller, Director of Public Relations.
This is Golf Smarter, sharing tips and insights to lower your score and raise your golf IQ. To hear the full interview and access hundreds of Golf Smarter episodes, sign up for premium access at golfsmarter.libsyn.com. Here's your host, Fred Green.
Welcome to the Golf Smarter Podcast, Joanne.
Thanks, Fred. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. It's great to meet you here at the ING Conference. What's going on with Tour Edge these days?
We've actually been really busy. This year, we've released the EX9 line under the Exotics name, and it's been really successful for us this year. Our hybrid has been flying off the shelves and doing really well. The feedback that we've been getting, it's the most forgiving hybrid people have ever used. So to get that from our Exotics collection, we've been very excited about that.
So you have two lines. You have the Exotics line and
the Tour Edge line.
Tour Edge line, which I think more people are familiar with that. What is the difference between the two lines?
Well, the way that the company has positioned ourselves is actually really good for the economy and just from where the golf industry is going as a whole. So the Tour Edge side was created in 1986, and it's the tagline, golf's most solid investment. So that brings something to the market where you have really good technology, and it is good, but it's at a price point that is very affordable.
Okay.
And then in 2004, David Glad, who was our president, he started to see things and think of different processes that he could create and be innovative with. But it was a very higher end product line because the materials are more expensive and the processes are more expensive. So he created the Exotics line.
Okay.
So with the Exotics line, you get the most advanced technology. And so you're going to have to pay for that. So it's a little bit more expensive, but you're getting the best technology that's on the market.
Compared to what?
Well, we...
How do you qualify that?
Absolutely. So we can take our products and pair them up against any of the big time manufacturers. And the benefit that we have as a smaller company is that our runs are a lot smaller.
Okay.
So we don't produce the same amount of quantity as some of the larger manufacturers do. So our products, we take great pride in the quality and the tolerances. There's no tolerances. We are very careful with making sure that there are no mistakes. Mm-hmm. So by doing so, we stand behind our products with a lifetime warranty.
Wow.
All of our products have a lifetime warranty.
Wow.
Our Tour Edge products and our Exotics products.
And what does that mean, a lifetime warranty? What does that mean?
Right. So what that means is that if you are the original owner of a golf club and it breaks under normal circumstances, not wrapped around a tree or
that's
over your head.
But that's a normal circumstance.
Or banging it on your head.
That's stupid.
we don't need, that happened this year on the tour. So not
oh, did somebody wrapped it on
yeah,
not
yeah,
with one
they
of
hit,
your clubs.
No, not with one of ours, but a player hit it on his head.
Yeah, but you never had somebody send
no,
you the club
no.
saying, this club broke because I hit
myself no, no,
in
no,
the
no.
head
but
it.
You would be surprised what our customer service
That's
technicians
what I'd love to
here
hear
for.
About.
Yes,
let's hear about your products.
But the lifetime warranty, so as long as you're the original owner and the club breaks under normal circumstances, we will replace it.
Oh,
so okay. Our customer, you call the customer service line and they'll give you an authorization number and you send it back.
Sure.
I think our bags have a couple of year warranty, so we also warranty the bags, but nice. The clubs have a lifetime warranty. And even if some of the products are out of cycle, like we don't produce them anymore, we will find a product that is in that same category that is as relatable, as similar as we possibly can. So just because we aren't producing the product anymore, it's still covered under the lifetime warranty and we'll still be able to help you. So I don't think anybody else in the industry does a lifetime warranty. So being a little bit of a smaller company and being able to stand behind our product with that much faith and knowledge and purpose, it really, to me, gives us a leg up above everybody else that's in the industry.
And that you don't have to do large runs or you do smaller runs intentionally. Do you also, is there pressure in the industry because of the competition to come out with new product on a faster basis than you feel comfortable with? Or?
It's surprising that you mention that because part of our next step of our marketing strategy is to actually step backwards. So what we're actually announcing is that our Tour Edge side of products has always been on a 2-year cycle.
Okay.
So So what we're doing now with our exotics line is we're going to be adopting that same process. So all of
where were you before with Tourist?
We were once a year.
With the exotics.
Exotics line, yeah. Mm-hmm. So we would come out with a product every fall with a new product line. So it would be from Driver Fairway Wood Hybrids Irons. So the collection, what we call the collection, the family, would be once a year, and that would usually come out in August or September. So what we're doing now is the EX9 is our 2016 collection. So that's going to run all through 2016. We will not be introducing a new collection or family in the fall under the exotics line. And it will actually be released at the PGA show with a March ship.
Okay.
So we're really excited about that. We feel like we can really put our best foot forward. We've had a really successful launch with the EX9 line, like as I mentioned, the hybrids. But we actually also came out with three sets of irons. And those have been selling really, really well. And so when we took a look at the whole collection of the EX9, we really felt like it was a good enough collection and it could sustain itself within the marketplace for the entire calendar year of 2016. We're already working on the next collection and family. So we're really excited about what the future is going to hold for us on the exotic side.
And what's the difference between the three sets of irons?
Well, the three sets of irons, it's initially we wanted to position them for a different level of player. Yeah. But the feedback that we've gotten from our consumers and our accounts and from our sales reps is that really need to hit them to figure out which one is going to be the best one for you. Because we can always categorize products as a manufacturer and say, well, this one is for your super game improvement. This one is for your low to mid handicap. This one is for, you know, your scratch golfer. But as we all know, sometimes the public and the consumer, everybody is different and they really need something that's going to fit their swing, their game.
Their ego.
Correct. That too. So what we have found and how we have always been very high on custom fitting. And so we really try to promote demo days across the country from West Coast to East Coast, North to South, and really try to promote them and let people know about them on our social media as well. Because we know that as a smaller company, you need to get our product in your hand. You need to test it. You need to feel it. You need to see the technology. You need to hear the ball coming off of the face of the club to really believe that this product is going to work for you. So by doing that, that gives our consumers the opportunity to test the three different sets of irons and really find that good fit for them. And it is a little bit about price. I mean, there's a little bit of a price difference between the two and the one, but they're basically the same, and you can customize them however you want. We have a couple of different shaft offerings, but of course, as any manufacturer, we can always put whatever shaft you want in for a small upcharge. So we really try to make sure that we can accommodate whatever needs a golfer or a client customer might have.
Being a smaller company, what kind of budgets do you have for your R&D?
You know what? That's as a privately held company.
That's private information. My next question would be even more off limits, which would be, what's your budget for your marketing?
Right.
You know. Can you answer this? Which is a bigger budget, marketing or your R&D?
You know, and I can't even answer that because it's private information and because the people that are in charge of our R&D is also the president of the company, David Glad. He's the man who started the company out of his garage in 1986, and he's built it from that over the last 30 years. And he's taken everything that he's learned and his heart and soul, and he's extremely creative, and he puts it into each and every collection that he comes out with. And it's not just him. Obviously, we have other people as well working on it, but they are so private about what the process is and what they're doing. And I mean, even as the public relations director, I'm not the last one to know by any stretch of the imagination, but I mean, everybody's pretty tight-lipped about it until it's ready to launch, because we need to have everything in control and everything ready. You know, our marketing plans need to be in place and things of that nature.
Let's talk about the consumer then. So you go into a big box store or retailer for a fitting.
Mm-hmm.
What does it take for Tour Edge to make sure that when the guy's doing the fitting, that he not only brings out the big brand names, but he also is aware that Tour Edge can be helpful as well.
That's always been, I think, part of our story and part of the challenge is whenever you're bringing a new product into the market, you know, even as a 30-year-old company, sometimes we still feel like the new kid on the block because there's a lot of people that might not have heard of Tour Edge Golf or Exotics, your general consumer. The gearheads, most of them will know because we're famous.
That's what they do.
For Exotics with our fairway woods.
Right.
But the general consumer, there's a good chance they might not have heard about Tour Edge. So it boils down to having really good sales reps and a really good team who is on the ground and communicating with those gentlemen or the ladies that work on the show floors and are on the store floors and communicating to them about what our product is and what the price point is and how it might fit better for one consumer over another. So just that whole education process that we really rely heavily on our sales reps for.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, we don't have any more time and I'm frustrated by that, but I really appreciate the fact that we got the chance to, you know, talk and learn more. I'm guessing touredge.com.
Yes. Touredge.com. And we're all over the place on Facebook, Twitter,
at
Instagram. Yep. At Tour Edge Golf.
Okay. At Tour Edge Golf.
Yes. At Tour Edge Golf.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you stopping by.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Now, because I only had time for like 10-minute conversations at this ING conference, I'm planning on giving you, the premium subscriber, a couple of interviews with each episode. This week features my conversations also with Sherry Major of the PGA Golf Exhibitions, who organizes the two most important PGA industry business gatherings each year, the PGA Merchandise Show in Orlando and the PGA Fashion and Demo Experience in Las Vegas. Now, I've never gotten to go to the one in Orlando, always have wanted to, so that's why each year I'll try to find somebody who has gone to the show and can give us a review from what they've experienced on the show floor. But now I'm really curious to know, how do these things work? Who does it and how much time does it take anyway? Both of these interviews can also be seen on our webpage as video at golfsmarter.com. So please, here we go. Here is an introduction to the PGA Merchandise Show in Orlando. Welcome to the Golf Smarter Podcast, Sherry.
Thank you. It's very nice to be here.
It's great to have you here. I'm so interested in what you do. You're with PGA Golf Shows.
I am.
You have a couple big events each year.
Absolutely. We have the PGA Merchandise Show every January in Orlando, and then the PGA Fashion and Demo Experience every August in Las Vegas.
And it clearly it takes a year to prepare two shows like that. I mean, I know people who try to put golf tournaments together and it takes them a year. So I can't imagine. I mean, what's the square footage that you do in Orlando?
We're at about 1 million gross square feet of space. We have about 1,000 exhibitors and we have 40,000 plus attendees from 76 countries. That is like your Super Bowl of golf business.
Yeah, absolutely. And around the same time. I've always found it fascinating. I've yet to go to Orlando. I'm based in California. I have been to Vegas once. I always found it so interesting when I was there of these people who, like, they're insurance salesmen, but they've created a tee. Like, I've got the tee. This is, you know, and like, they're willing to give up their entire because they've got a golf tee. And it's like these little exhibitors that come out there and it's like, oh.
You know, when you have 1,000 exhibitors on the show floor, you have your market leaders, your veterans, you have your up and coming, your mom and pops. But then we also have this great place on the show floor. It's called the Inventor's Spotlight Pavilion. Mm-hmm. And in the Inventor's Spotlight Pavilion, it is basically tabletops of inventions that have not yet come to market that are patent pending. It is fun to walk through there. We partner with the United Inventors Association to put together this pavilion of exhibitors. And I'm excited to say that we've been doing that for approximately probably 6-7 years. Mm-hmm. And some of those inventions are now full-fledged exhibits on our show floor who have a place in the market. It's exciting to see that grow.
Yeah, I was going to actually ask, what's the percentage that don't make it back for year two?
There's probably a large percentage.
Yeah. But what? Can you give me an example of something exciting like that that somebody remember?
There was a visor one year.
Visor?
No, seriously, a visor that then got sold into Dick's. Like, took off because it had removable designs that you could change it up for all of your outfits. And Dick's loved it. And really? They're extremely popular. It's, I wish I knew the name right off the top of my head.
That's
but
so I'm unique. Just,
it is.
Not
it really
necessarily
is.
A golf product.
You don't know what's going to catch.
Yeah, well, it's
the
like
eye,
an, right.
The interest.
When people say, can you make a viral video for me? It's like, don't ever ask that question, because if anybody tells you that they can,
right.
turn and run in the other direction, because right. it's impossible to tell you, yes, this is going to go viral.
That's just one example, but yeah. there are, you know, there are companies like Callaway who started off at the PGA Show with a 10 by 10. And now they own
player.
Significant real estate on that show floor and are market leader. And you just never know what's going to happen at a PGA Show and where you can grow from there.
Other than the obvious answer of the last day, what's your favorite part of the show?
You know, I think a lot of people would now say that demo day is a favorite part of the show. Have you been to Demo Day?
No.
Demo Day is the day before the show floor opens, and we have that out at the Orange County National Range. And it is a circular range where we fit 100 different companies, and PGA professionals get to come out and try the very newest equipment in outdoor golf conditions and beautiful weather and
hopefully.
Around the... Yes, hopefully. Generally. And with their colleagues and with their peers and with their friends. And it's a great experience to test new equipment the day before the show floor. And then it leads to sales on the show floor for our vendors.
I find it interesting that the show is generally after the buying holiday. Is that an issue for some of the manufacturers or
No,
exhibitors?
The tradition of the PGA Show goes back 54 years. We
have always been after
always
the buying season.
Been
the holiday buying season.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it's not for consumers. It's for retailers who are stocking and planning for their stores and for their shops.
Oh, so it's a retailer. It's not necessarily for the
There are no consumers at any
no,
PGA
but
Show.
But the manufacturers are there to showcase their products to...
To buyers, to PGA buyer. Professionals and mm-hmm. and retail operators.
And what kind of attendance are you getting these days?
At the PGA Show in Orlando, we have about 43,000 attendees from 76 countries.
Wow.
It is truly a global forum. It is the major of golf business.
Yeah. You know, I try each year to find somebody who goes to the show and say, all right, you be my reporter. Let's
right.
do a show on what you saw that you thought was interesting. And I've, you know, even the show that I went to in Las Vegas, I saw some things like, okay, that's really cool. I think that's a great idea.
Right.
And then I see it in Marshall's, you know, 8 months later, or the guy who came up with this interesting idea of testing the wind, but the USGA says, nope, that's illegal. And so
right.
you can't have that. So there must be so many people that want to come
Absolutely.
To the show. Are they? Is there a selection process? Do you say, nope, sorry, you can't be here. I know you can afford it, but we don't.
You definitely have to have a golf-related product to be on the show floor, for sure.
Oh, and a visor? Check. Okay.
Absolutely. So, yeah, there is a qualification process to getting on the show floor, but there are so many who want to be on the show floor.
Yeah.
Golf is... definitely an appealing demographic and market, and people are invested. They're passionate about the game. And those inventors that come into the inventor spotlight, I love their backstories.
Oh, I bet.
Couldn't be.
You got one off the top of your head you can share? Put you on the spot. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're putting me on the spot. I don't know. It's just, it's been so many years of different inventions coming in and really... The passion that's behind them, I think, is really what stands out to me. And you were talking about media who come to the show and we cover the show mm-hmm. because it's an exclusive window, really, for consumers because they can't see it themselves. And so we have about 1,000 media that come from 25 countries
wow.
to really cover our vendors and the trends in golf and the equipment that's coming into golf. It's exciting. It's an exciting week. I can't wait to have you there.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate the invitation. I look forward to getting the opportunity because I really do want to see it.
Oh,
I really do.
I think if you're in the golf industry, you have to be at the PGA Show.
So the elephant in the room is that the golf industry has been having some tough times.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting because a decade ago, we talked about it a little more. You know, around a decade ago, we were talking about the Tiger effect. and how his success brought everybody in and new courses are being built and everybody's trying to play golf. And actually, if you kind of look at it, it's still the Tiger effect. Once he hit his peak and he started going down and fell out of favor and stuff, people started, stop playing golf. How has that impacted the attendance and, the amount of exhibitors that you have?
I think in any industry, when you have an event like ours, which is really focused on bringing businesses together, bringing a manufacturer together with a buyer, you always have to focus on evolving that show to increase the value to the buyer and to the vendor. And that's our sole focus. Mm-hmm. How can we make this show experience better for you? Mm. Whether the industry is up or down, our sole focus is on your business. How can we make your business successful? And if you focus that's on cool. that, then you really can't go wrong. You get the feedback from whether it be surveys or personal contact, whatever it is, you need to talk to your customers. And our customers are our attendees and our vendors. And that dialogue couldn't be more important than to shaping the show. There's nothing that shapes the show other than our guests.
So why do you come to the ING conference?
Relationships. It's all about relationships in golf. I love who I get to work with. I love golf media. Our manufacturers are so important. And I've never worked in another industry other than golf. I've been here for 25 years. And so I always
There's
like to
a
say...
a lot of people who are very envious of you for saying that.
I always like to think that golf is so exceptional in that the camaraderie and the relationships that are here just seems so special to me. But I'm certain that there are other industries that experience the same. But I'd never want to work in any other industry because of what we have here. Yeah. You'll find PGA professionals are just top of class and the best practices that they share with one another. They truly want the other person to be successful as well. Mm-hmm. And in some senses, your competitors.
Even your playing partner.
Yeah, even your playing partner, for sure, in golf. In some senses, you're talking about PGA professionals who are from the same region and could be competitors, but they're sharing best practices and it's all about growing the game. And I'm always impressed with the people that I come across in golf, professionals that I come across in golf.
Fabulous. So I've had contact through the podcast. People have reached out to me going, I'm developing a product.
Right.
So for those people who are thinking about or have or are in the process of developing a golf product, what is the process for them to get to be part of the PGA?
I really encourage them to go to our two websites first. So for Orlando, it's pgashow.com, and that is where we have the Inventor Spotlight Pavilion. Mm-hmm. And then in Las Vegas, it's pgalasvegas.com.
Okay.
And there's a tab there for potential exhibitors, and it really walks them through the process of what's the value of exhibiting, what you should anticipate, what you should prepare, what you should have together to really bring your product to this marketplace. So it gives you a bit of an education before you even talk to someone so that you know how to frame that conversation. And then I suggest you get on the phone with one of our exhibitor representatives because they've walked this road with many other exhibitors before and could give you some really good tips and advice.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I'm so glad that we got a chance to talk because outside of having breakfast together, because I've always been really curious about this show and how it works and who's involved. And so I just never got the backstory, but this is really great. Thank you very much.
So nice of you to invite me today. Thanks.
And a reminder to please follow us at Golf Smarter on your favorite social media app, whether it's Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. The list is so long, I'm not even going to go there. But if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, use hashtag Golf Smarter in your social media posts so that we can all be a part of that conversation. Or just click on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com.